Okay, now we're live. We're live after an hour of technical difficulties, but Jamie and I made it. Jamie, welcome.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. Brand new 2024 NFL season. We're a little late. We're in week three, I think. Man. Week four now. What are we at? Are we in week four already?
I would say we're in week four. I mean, we're almost halftime through the Giants-Cowboys game.
Yeah, technical difficulties were rough on this particular evening, you know? So getting old takes away your brain power sometimes on problem solving. But here we are. What's the score of this game, Jamie? I was so focused on this, I don't even know what's going on. Is it
14-3,
14-6? What's going on here?
14-9, Cowboys.
What a random fucking score. The most Cowboys-Giants score you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, my first initial thoughts on this is Dallas kind of let the Giants hang around. They've had the ability to make plays, and just like defense hasn't been able to make plays, but the Giants have been the Giants and can't capitalize on Dallas letting them hang around.
It sounds about right for both football teams.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm surprised it's not some stupid score like 11-5.
We'll see with a minute remaining if Dak can get the best kicker in football, unfortunately, for Eagles fans like yourself, Jordan. Brandon Aubrey is way – he's so good right now.
I mean, I saw a stat the other day where he's like QB 16 or something like that.
What?
In fantasy
really?
Leagues. Yeah, yeah. Sleeper put it out, actually. They tweeted it. I forget when it was. It was –
oh, that's
after
wild.
The games last week. Like, he's some crazy ranking. So,
oh, that's wild.
And also, Jake Elliott missed a 60-yard field goal last week, so I can't really say much.
Yeah,
indoors in New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, I think I have Jake Elliott. Let's just quick your top five, maybe no order, kickers. I'll start. I'll go Aubrey. I'm going to go Elliott number two. I would probably put – I really like what Fairbairn out of Houston's doing right now. And then I'm going to let my bias show here and put Boswell ahead of Tucker for 4 and 5. Tucker might be washed.
Didn't he miss a 40-some-yard field goal last week, Tucker?
Against Dallas, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He might not be top five. It might be Butker.
Yeah, I would say – this Aubrey guy, Butker, Elliott.
Mm.
I'm going to go with, what's his name in Atlanta? Youngway Koo.
Oh, his name? Yeah. Youngway Koo,
yeah.
That's it.
Man got cut, and he came back. You love to see it.
Yeah.
What was that, four? Actually, do I owe you one? I think I owe you one.
One more. That's a great pick, though. Who's
I don't even I don't even remember like other kickers in the league.
Oh, you can get another kicker.
I might just say, did I say Tucker already? I might just say Tucker just to say five.
Yeah, no, that's fair. You could say Boswell too if you wanna. You know,
I haven't watched him. It's not that
that's
I don't
fair.
Believe you, but
that's
I haven't
fair.
Watched him.
That's fair. He only has more points than like all of the other Steelers combined. With that being said, let me transition into what are your thoughts on the Steelers right now? Like, do you even think of them as good?
I will be honest, I've been pretty busy the first 3 weeks of the NFL season. I have not watched them closely, other than if I check the notes real quick, I believe these guys are 3-0. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah, so here's the first thing I'll say about that. Is Mike Tomlin is off to a great start on keeping the streak alive.
Yep.
Not having a losing season. And I love that for him. I don't really care the state of the team. I just don't want Mike Tomlin to ever lose that record.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I echo that.
I'm not qualified to give an opinion on the Steelers at the moment. Other than... did the Bears fuck over Justin Fields? And is he actually above average? I'm not going to call him good, but is he actually above average?
Yeah, he can. Can he manage an offense?
You tell me.
I mean, so I watched the entire game last week against the Chargers. I thought they had a really good game plan for him, where he could make accurate throws and just maintain an offense. Nothing complex. No, really, that hard of throws. He made some good throws, but it's been pretty simple. I think Arthur Smith gets a lot of credit for that and making it something he can do. But it might be that the Bears coaching is very, very incompetent, because, like, there's talent there. He can still run too, and it's. Yeah, I would say it says more about the Bears than it does Justin Fields right now with how.
All I'm saying is quarterback play put to the side. I saw a statistic today about DeAndre Swift, his first 4 years in the league, averaging over 4 yards a carry between Detroit and Philadelphia. Each individual season, averaging over 4 yards a carry. With Chicago right now, averaging 1.7. That's all I'm saying.
Not great.
So. You know, when you got guys that are leaving, going to other teams and improving their performance, and you got guys that are coming to your team and stats like that are going down by a wide margin.
Yep.
It's not good.
No.
It's not a good recipe.
No. And the offensive line in Chicago is so, so bad. I mean.
Oh, it's just terrible. It's painful to watch.
They can't run block. They can't pass block. It's so, so bad.
Look, I'm not saying Caleb Williams is the next Tom Brady or Michael Vick or any combination there of the two, but, I mean, what do you expect a man to do with that type of offensive line play?
Yeah.
It's just
he can't hard. Do anything.
It's hard. They're going to get him killed back there.
Oh, yeah. But my initial thoughts on the Steelers, I mean, I do love that Mike Tomlin has a position where it can be a winning record again. I love that record just as much as you love it. My initial thought is they're at the perfect place to have so many injuries on defense. Like, their defense is doing so well right now, thanks to, like, TJ Watt, Cameron Hayward. I love the way Deshaun Elliott is playing in their secondary defensive back. Patrick
is Quinn is like. Healthy? Is Watt
is healthy.
Good.
But like Watt's had injury concerns, Cameron Hayward's had injury concerns. All of the contributors in defense for the Steelers right now have injury concerns. And like, I feel like the first defensive injury domino, if you will, has already fallen now that Alex Highsmith got hurt. And so I just feel like it's one of those things where if the Steelers have everyone healthy on defense, their defense will be great, and it'll allow their offense to score like 17 to 23 points and win games that way. But if their defense...
How's the Steelers' defense ranked right now? I mean, I know we're only a month in, but how are they doing?
I think they're number one. I mean, they only allowed the Chargers... They held the Chargers to -5 total yards in the second half. They've only allowed 6 points of 6 points in the second half by teams. That's the Broncos having 2 field goals. The Falcons and Chargers didn't score in the second half of their games against the Steelers. So, like, it's as good as...
According to Fox Sports, they are, in fact, number one.
Yeah, I mean, it's as good as it can be. But if you guys get hurt, they have such good guys at the top of their, like, first team that the depth isn't there. I mean, I will say that shout out to Herbig. He filled in great for Highsmith and had a couple sacks last week. But
former Eagle. The former Eagle.
you just can't replace TJ Watt. If he goes down, or Cameron Hayward, they really don't have that great of interior defensive line depth. But how do you think the Eagles would like having Herbig back on their team instead of Huff?
Jamie, I would take you as a pass rusher over Huff right now. Everybody and their mom in our league saw that comment coming as soon as you said it about what my comeback was going to be for that.
Did I say it correctly that Huff was being blocked by a tight end in that Falcons game? Like,
you may have seen that. You may have seen that Jalen Hurts is leading him in tackle this season.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, what metric do you want to measure it by? We can slice it many different ways. Usually Howie is a wizard. This is not one of those signings where he was the wizard.
No.
So far.
Yeah.
We'll see. We don't need to deep dive the Eagles too much. I don't want to turn this into an Eagles podcast. But I will say, the one thing I like about Vic Fangio on defense is he does not give a fuck what your contract says.
Mm.
The best players will play for who needs to be out there. And I can respect that.
I like that.
So that's old school. So I can respect it. And, you know, he's been in the league a long time. So he's probably got the respect of Howie Roseman, and certainly Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
That's a whole separate. That saga is a whole separate thing. But we can leave that because I know you have an agenda. And we're short on time because I fucked around for an hour. So,
real quick, do you think the players like Nick Sirianni? The offense? I think they're getting a little sour, man.
I could see the locker room being split.
Yeah.
I think there are, how do I describe this? I think they all appreciate and enjoy his aggressive philosophy because as a player, they view it as he has faith in them.
Yeah.
At all times. Like, he is not afraid to do some crazy shit at any given moment because he believes in his guys. And I think players really like that autonomy, for lack of a better word. Strangely enough, I don't even know if that's the right word. But I think they like being believed in like that. However, I could very easily see these guys looking at him at a post-game press conference and be like, who the fuck is this cornball talking to the media?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could easily see that being a thing. So that's kind of my stance on it.
Okay.
What do you think?
I feel like there's times where they don't respect him as players on the offense don't respect Nick Sirianni as much as they respect Jalen Hurts when it comes to leadership. And it just has it's weird right now because isn't Sirianni calling the plays?
Man, you just beaten this saga to death. He is not calling the plays. Kellen Moore calls the plays. Although he was asked about that by the media this week, and he said, I will call plays, quote, here and there.
Okay, that's probably where I
whatever
think
that means.
I feel like he's had some input into the plays that are being called and maybe have overruled, vetoed, and that's where I feel like the players are like, what are you doing?
It's certainly a possibility. The thing about the Eagles
as a rumor.
See, that's the thing. That's what I was going to say. The Eagles as a franchise are very good about culture issues, locker room issues, shit like that. Like, never really makes it out in a clear way in the moment. It will come out years from now when it doesn't matter anymore, but we're not going to know right now. And a great example of that is the whole saga with Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
There was a lot of rumors that were flying around when he was there, when he was still playing before he got hurt and before they won the Super Bowl, about guys in the locker room liked him, didn't like him, he's a drama queen, blah, blah. But nobody really knew for sure, and he was playing well, so nobody really asked questions about it. And then we come to find out years later that pretty much all that shit was true. So But again, that was 4 years after the fact when nobody gave a fuck and they won a Super Bowl. Especially yeah. nobody gave a shit. So we won't know. Unfortunately, we won't know until Sirianni's gone, whenever that day comes.
Yep. Just win, baby.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's on the hot seat, quote unquote. But guess what? So was Andy Reid like six times, and he coached the team for a decade and a half. True. So it's just part of coaching in any professional sports league, but especially in Philadelphia.
Especially.
You're talking about a coach who went to the Super Bowl and was in the playoffs all the other years. So
yeah,
he would get hired somebody else if the Eagles fired him. Somewhere else if the Eagles fired him. So
yeah.
You know, you never know.
Last coach to take a team to back to back NFC East division titles.
Is that Andy Reid? Sorry, I was yawning.
Yeah. All right, let's now transition to, I would say, the most polarizing component of this year's league and the taxi squad acquisition.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go, indeed. Now,
Jamie's stirring up chaos.
I want to start up chaos because I feel like I don't agree with the rule. And let me just present a scenario that is currently unfolding in our league. So Sean right now has 5 first-round draft picks and 3 second-round draft picks for this 2025 upcoming draft. Theoretically, the way we have it, when we have like the values of safe 2025, our first, second, the following year's first, second round picks, the value for it. The lowest first round pick that he has technically could go for, somebody could technically offer a 2027 second round pick for his first round pick that comes in this year. And then he would have to put somebody on the roster for it. I mean, I just see it in a scenario unfolding in our league right now where I'm not saying we should do this as a league, but we could theoretically collude against Shane and not trade for any of his picks so that he has to draft all these players. And then you can just swoop in with value and just keep offering like draft picks for his players. I mean, he can then put them on his real squad, obviously, but like he has so many draft picks that eventually you could offer like a 4th or 5th round pick for somebody who's going to get drafted in the second round, or he's going to have to drop somebody on his roster that's young, and you could pick up someone there to make room for all the picks that he has on his roster. He currently has 11 draft picks through like the 4th round. I mean, 8 first and second round draft picks. And that's a lot of players if you're offering lower draft picks to put on your taxi squad when you already have people from this taxi squad. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I would say
premise overall,
particular to Shane's situation. I mean, he is in a clear state of not competing this year.
Yep,
as far as I can tell. I don't know. I don't think he would argue with that either. So from his perspective, I mean, he could draft 5 guys in the first round and roster them all, regardless. Or roster 4 of those 5 guys right off the bat. Who cares what the value is when it comes to claiming off taxi squad if they're going to be on his roster anyway? That's how I would look at it if I was him. The alternative to that is he may not end up using all 5 of those picks. You know, he might trade 3 of them for Romeo Dunze, for example. He might trade 3 of them for somebody else. He might trade 5 of them for somebody else. Who knows? I don't like the rule either. Never have voted against it when it came up.
Me too.
I think it's a good, here's what I'll say. This is kind of outside of the realm of this particular wrinkle to our league. I think it's great that we're innovating. New wrinkles, new ways, and we're not just kind of operating as a business as usual fantasy league. I don't know who came up with the idea. I don't know if it was Seth or somebody else. But I love that we're not just like sitting here, you know, screwing around every year. We're at least trying some new fun stuff, see if it works for us. That being said, it doesn't mean everybody's going to agree. I wasn't one of them. And the biggest reason why was I was worried about, for lack of a better word, abuse of the system, where you could theoretically force guys to roster people. You could force guys to roster people out of spite. I'm not saying Shane did it for this reason. I don't think he did, especially after talking to him in person. So I just want to put the disclaimer out that I'm giving Shane the benefit of the doubt on what I'm about to say. But we had private trade conversations about Odunze before he put a claim in on him for the first round pick that I had him listed for. The trade offer that he gave me was obviously better than just one first round pick, because why would I ever do that? Now, I didn't particularly agree with the offer, nor did I really want to trade Odunze to begin with, regardless of what the offer was. So I declined it. We had some back and forth about why I declined it. Whatever. It was fine. Business as usual, like I said, with trade negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
Claim window opens up. First claim, second claim, whatever it was that gets made is for Odunze for a first-round pick. Now, I have a choice to either take that deal or roster him, but I don't really have a choice, and I got to put him on my roster. So the other wrinkle to this, which Shane keenly pointed out, which I will admit I did not think of, mostly because I didn't think about it this hard. I was too busy. Of the five first-round picks that Shane has, he has his own, he has yours, Seth's, Max's, and Aaron's, right?
Right.
So Shane's theory is the more competitive my team is, the potential to kick one of those other four teams that's not his first-round pick out of the playoffs. Basically make my team more competitive and put those other four teams at risk of being out of the playoff.
Mm.
At which point he would be locked into another pick of 1 through 4.
Right.
Depending on how the scores fall. I'll give him credit. I didn't think of that. But it is another example of abuse of the rule, in my opinion. So
yeah.
There's multiple facets to it overall. What a play on this.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yes, we do.
We gotta stop for that one.
That could have been so problematic.
My man just got exploded. Was that Foster Moreau that I saw get back on that football? Yes. Well,
Foster Moreau's on the Saints, and Foster Moreau's also white. So I don't think it's Foster Moreau.
Yeah, it was not him. It definitely was not him. That was crazy, though. Dude just got rocked on that stuff.
Guy got wrecked, fumbled the ball, and the Giants player was, right there in the nick of time to jump on that. Wow.
Wow. All righty. Well, what a start to the second half.
Yeah.
Anyways, shifting back into gear about this taxi claim rule. I think it waters down the usage of the taxi squad. I think you're going to find guys keeping rookies on the taxi squad that are really just irrelevant, to be honest with you. And then at that point, why do we even have a taxi squad to a certain degree?
Yeah.
Especially of 8 guys or whatever we have, 6 or 8. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's 8. It affects teams that are trying to blow their rosters up and, you know, try to keep a long backlog of young guys safely.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to make the rebuilding process harder, in my opinion, from scratch.
Yeah.
There's a lot of effects to it.
I only think this hurts the weaker teams that are trying to build a younger core, develop, like, I mean, keep a younger core, all, but also try to keep, like, draft picks. Like, it's exactly Shane's team. Because, like, if Shane wants to put those guys that he's going to draft in 2025, assuming he keeps the picks, assuming we as a league don't collude against him, he's going to have to drop people that are playmakers. Like, he does have guys like Isaiah Likely as a tight end. He does have Kyle Pitts. He does have Cam Sutton. He has guys that are a little bit older that aren't, like, young people, but he's going to have to make decisions on guys that are, like, does he want to keep a young rookie or does he want to drop somebody? I mean, I just see it in a way that it hurts the team trying to develop, and you could just get people that are abusing the system and just offering picks just to get somebody to roster a guy. Like, are we going to get to that point?
You're preaching to the choir, my man. That's one of the biggest reasons why I voted against it in the first place. You know, the devil's advocate side of that is this is something that it doesn't, in my opinion, really make sense to only do it for 1 year and then remove it.
No.
I don't think we can say we've given it its due diligence for that. So, unfortunately, I think it's going to be a thing in our league for at least another year or two after this one. I mean, I'm kind of thinking about it that way. I don't know how other people will feel. We'll see if this triggers any conversation in the Discord after people listen. But yeah. I have a hard time seeing it going away after just 1 year. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are just like, eh, we did it. We tried it. We didn't really use it, quote unquote. So, like, why have it?
Yeah.
Who knows? I think it was a close vote when it was voted on to begin with. Like, I'm pretty sure it only passed by one. I don't remember. Seth may know.
Yeah, I would guess that if we're both not for it, maybe it was like a 7-3, 6-4 kind of vote. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, the only action I've seen on it so far is just that you've had to roster Roman Dunze, unless I haven't noticed other people.
I know Eric put in a claim for somebody else, not on my team, somebody else across the league. And I'm assuming that that player was then rostered because I did not see a trade for a 1-to-1 player for a pick trade that involved Eric. So I think those are the only examples thus far. Also, Daniel Jones is out here just dealing.
Yeah, that's
on the Cowboys right now.
That's what I'm concerned about the Cowboys defense right now, because, like, Daniel Jones hasn't really been that pressured. And when he's been pressured, he's been able to move around and make throws. The guys he's making throws to are wide open. Like, how do you let neighbors get behind your linebackers and just – that's easy for him.
That's a great job by neighbors of – I don't know if you caught that, but immediately when he got around the linebacker, 90-degree left-hand turn from neighbors.
Yeah.
That was a great route, a great route. Oh, look at Danny Dimes. What's going on here? Oh, he's way out of bounds.
Yeah,
you got to know where the sideline is, kid.
Yeah. That's just, and then that's literally the Giants. That's what I'm talking about. The Cowboys are letting the Giants hang around, and then the Giants are just, like, too incompetent to make play after that.
Yep. What, all right, I think we beat the taxi squad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, what else?
What do we have?
So I wanted to ask you on, do you think Travis Hunter from Colorado should be the Heisman? Thoughts on that? So here's my just stance on it. I think he is the best college football player right now. He's playing like over 130 snaps a game. He's playing both ways. He's averaging 118 yards receiving. He's made some insane catches. He made a game-saving fumble forced at the goal line last week against Baylor. And it'll be interesting to see it as conference play like ramps up. But he's had 100-plus yards in every single game. He's just so, so talented. He's so good. And I feel like there isn't that dominant of a quarterback. Like, it feels like the Heisman Award eventually will go to the quarterback of the undefeated SEC team, whoever right. that is, whether it's Jalen Milroe, Carson Beck, or Daxton, or I forget the Ole Miss quarterback. But, like, it feels like it's headed in that direction.
Yeah, it feels like it's headed in Jalen Milroe's direction. I'm not going to lie to you. It's just what it feels like to me.
But what if Alabama's not undefeated? What if they lose to Georgia?
The playoff is going to be very interesting this year. That could change things, even for awards.
Yeah.
I
just feel like we haven't seen a player that is like Travis Hunter in years. Maybe since literally like Deion. I really can't.
I was going to say, yeah, player. maybe since Deion, yeah. Yeah.
But two-way players like this don't exist anymore.
I think we're just going to have to see what his stats look like at the end of the year. And I hate saying that, but I say it because I don't think Colorado is going to be competitive just based on some of the games they've had early in the year. I don't know if they're going to make the playoff or not. I don't even know where they're ranked right now. Are they ranked?
No. No, yeah, they lost. So. They lost to Nebraska. But, like, yeah. Travis Hunter right now is sixth of all wide receivers in yards in all of FBS. And I guarantee he's the only guy in the top 50 that I'm looking at who is playing defense, playing so many snaps. Forcing fumbles. He has an interception.
I guess I'm just afraid from the Heisman's perspective that he would get penalized for being a jack of all trades and a master of none, especially as a position player.
Because
I think the last position player to win it was Devontae Smith.
Yep.
And Devontae Smith was just. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sorry. I said position player. I was thinking pitcher, baseball. Phillies are on the mind. Sorry. That's right. that's a whole nother fun. Should have put that on the agenda. Max is rolling his eyes somewhere. you know, he was the last non-quarterback to win the award, I believe, and operating on a different level.
Yeah,
I mean, he was an NFL wide receiver playing in college for a couple of seasons. So,
in a year where the quarterback position wasn't that strong, either. And I'm not saying that, like, Travis Hunter is at Devontae Smith, but Travis Hunter's playing defense. And he's playing, he's putting a lot of energy into defense. And I'm not even that big of a Colorado guy. I'm just impressed that you can have a guy play so many steps on defense and then, take no rest, kind of. I mean, there's a lot of more commercials in college football than it used to be, but, like, and just go out and just ball out at wide receiver.
No question, it is unreal what he's doing because we haven't seen it in our lifetime, for sure.
Yep.
But I just, like I said, my biggest thing is a fear of he's going to get penalized for being a jack of all trades and a master of none when people look at the stats for him being on a non-competitive team. Yeah. If he was on a competitive team, if he played for Alabama and was doing this, no doubt about it. Now, maybe that's a bad example because Milroe's there. But, like, if he was playing on a non-Alabama competitive team, I mean, he would probably be a lock for top three.
Yeah.
Doing what he's doing. I just think that there is an aspect of crowning someone a Heisman Trophy winner that has to do with the success of their team because of their contribution.
Yeah.
That's my only thing. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it because I think he does. At minimum, I think he deserves to be at the ceremony, which is something in and of itself to be a finalist.
Yeah.
And whatever the statistics look like offensively and defensively aside, I just think that's great for the game. I think it's great for college football to have a player like that to attract attention. I do wonder, side note, when he gets to the league, which side of the ball he'll choose.
I was thinking that too. I
think it's going to have to be wide receiver. I don't know if I don't know if he's got the body to play corner in the league.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Imagine Travis Hunter lining up at DB against AJ Brown.
Yeah. That's a good
What are
point.
We doing? Maybe a nickel? Is he a nickel corner in the NFL? I don't know.
He's 6'1", 185. Is that pretty tall for a corner or a nickelback? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what the measurements are. Hold on.
He's so athletic that I feel like he could play offense, but like if they need him on defense, like he could be there.
I mean, I just looked it up because it was handy. Quinyon Mitchell's only 6 feet, 194.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not that much small. You know, he's similar size. He's an inch taller and weighs less. Sure, he could put some weight on for the NFL. So I take that back. Maybe he could play corner. It's just going to come down to, I guess, what he wants to do and how NFL teams are going to evaluate him. Is he going to have to do the combine for both sides of the ball? Imagine.
That would be something to watch. That would be wild.
What do you think?
That'll be interesting.
If you were an NFL GM, where would you want to put him?
I feel like I would want him at wide receiver, but I wouldn't mind if he also like was out there for maybe like a nickelback or something like that. I really like the way he plays defense. He just attacks the ball wherever he is. I mean, I could see him maybe like it'd kind of be even more fun where if he only played defense, but then was in some offensive plays.
Some gadget plays that were like true offensive plays that weren't like trick plays. They were like, no, this is a real play.
Yeah.
But it just happens to be designed for Travis Hunter. Yeah.
Right.
I could see that.
I could just see him, if he's going to get on offense anyways, he's going to draw some eyes and it could just be like a diversion. Like it couldn't even have to go to him. Like that's how I think that you could use him in a way where it's going to just keep you on your toes no matter what. Almost like Taysom Hill in a way. But I don't know. Also, I don't know if he wants to play two ways. So, at the pro level.
It'll be up to him.
Yeah.
It'll be up to him. It's intriguing. What else we have on our agenda? Have we turned through it all?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. We could do some picks.
I was going to say, yeah, we normally end with picks, so let's do that.
Yes. Okay. So this it's been an interesting year thus far. A lot of parity in the league, I will say. There's been three different winners for the challenge competition, which reminds me I need to announce that on Discord. But right now, this
– Oh, and you're going to make me wait?
No. I already told Seth that you – I mean, you won. I told you it was whoever got – Yeah.
Okay. Well, I knew Goddard was high scoring. Yeah. I didn't know if he ended the week as the highest scorer.
Yeah, the only person that was eligible at the end of the afternoon games would have been Kelsey. And he didn't do nearly enough to take that award from Goddard.
Shout out to Jahan Dotson for springing Dallas Goddard for 60 yards at the end of the game that probably resulted in that. So shout out to Jahan Dotson. Anyways, league picks.
All right. So I'll start off with myself against T.O. Currently, I am projected to win. T.O. has 15 points. He has Parsons and Kendricks going right now. Been an interesting year for T.O., I would say. Rodgers and Mahomes. His two running backs right now are Ty Chandler and Chuba Hubbard. That's something. That is something for your two starting running backs.
Jamie, it's something, but wait till you get to me.
I want to go to you right now. What do you got? What do you got? You have Aaron Jones and Miles Sanders. I would say you have better running backs.
I don't know about that.
Isn't Aaron Jones above Ty Chandler in the depth chart?
Yeah, actually, now that I look at this, he and I kind of have opposite running back situation.
Yeah. Because
Hubbard is the quote-unquote starter in Carolina, and I have Sanders, and then I have Aaron Jones, and he's got Chandler. We have each other's handcuffs. Maybe we should talk trades, TL.
Yeah.
Just go full-on backfields. We'll just
might as well swap. I would say Aaron Jones is better than Chuba Hubbard. Like, you have the best running back and then the best backup to that running back. That's why I would say you're the better running back duo.
This would actually kind of be a funny trade. Like, that would be Chandler hilarious. For Miles Sanders. That would be kind of funny. We just go full backfield switch.
Yeah.
I would consider that.
Oh, wait. I think we have Aubrey might be attempting a 60-yarder here. Let's see what this
I saw they threw a flag. Was that on the previous play? What happened there?
I think so.
Let's see what we get here. Live field goal kicking.
60
yards. Look at him splitting in pretty much in half. Good for him.
That would have been good from 68. I just want him to have the shot of breaking the NFL record this year with how good he's playing.
What's the record?
66.
He could do that. Wow, okay. Look at this. That was not going to be good from 68, but 65. Yeah, maybe. I'll give you 65. I'm not going to give you 68.
All right. My prediction of myself versus T.O., I think I win by 5. I think it's close. I think both of us are hurting for a win. Pretty similar rosters. How about you?
Yeah, between you and T.O., I'm just looking here. You know what? Let me look on my phone. It's a little easier to look at predictions on the phone.
He's got Tyreek Hill, but who knows the quarterback that's going to be thrown to him. T.O.'s defense is still kind of good.
Wow, even the predictions are pretty split on you two. 52-48 at the moment. This is so tough with you having not had anyone play. But I look here, you know, Parsons only with 3.
Kendricks is going off.
Bosa could have a day against New England. If I just look at the straight up match at that level. Although I will say Baker's going to be playing in a not great for scoring points situation on Sunday. Tampa is going to be a weather shit show.
I'm hoping that weather gets better, but it's going to be the hurricane, isn't it?
It is.
Ooh.
I think I have to – you know what? I think, unfortunately, Jamie, I have to take T.O. because of that. It's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster. And I think –
probably going to run the ball a lot.
I mean, who's your other option? Baker or who? Oh no.
Herbert.
I mean, you can start Herbert. Is he playing? I see he's got a questionable tag here.
I would think he doesn't play. I think he shouldn't play, FYI. But
That's a tough time to have him injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. You're kind of in a box with Baker right there.
Yeah. I didn't think about the hurricane now until now. Yeah,
I think it's close still, but I just think that's going to be an ankle biter for you.
Okay.
With Baker, and I'm going to take T.O. by 5 the other way.
Okay.
Just because of that. I think objectively your team is better, and you have Hurts too. Both of those guys are going to be playing in a hurricane.
Yeah.
And you can only, you know, even if Herbert was healthy, you can only pick one of them.
That's right.
So I gotta take T.O. there, sadly.
No clock. All right, moving on to Aaron against Eric.
This is an interesting matchup because Aaron is 2-4 this year.
Yep. Yeah.
I would say that that is somewhat unexpected.
Very unexpected. I think that Aaron's defense is normally really good. I think they just had a slow start. I know they just picked up that Tua guy and linebackers. I think Aaron's defense comes back strong, and I still like a lot of his position players. Jordan Mason. I think Najee will have a decent game against Indy's rush defense if he's healthy. I think Nico Collins has a good bounce back game against Jacksonville. I mean, CeeDee Lamb's already put up 20 points. Breece Hall could have a big game against Denver. Purdy could have a big game against New England. And Aaron's kind of got some question marks on his side of the team. I mean, he started Ferguson at tight end because Andrews has been doing so poorly. Mm-hmm. Deontay Johnson didn't practice today. Achane would be a lot better if Tua was in the Dolphins offense. I have Aaron by, I'm going to go by 20. I think Aaron wins it comfortably.
Wow, okay. A strong win for Aaron. I was going to pick Aaron as well. I'm going to take him by 10, though, just because there always seems to be parity in our league, like super close. I feel like this is one of those weeks where some games are won or lost, like, quote, close margin. I almost said close. Close margin. like close margins. I'm going to take Aaron as well. I'm going to take him by 10.
Okay, moving on to next on my list is Death against Jordan.
Woo! Yep, here we go.
And Death currently at the moment is starting Fields. He just recently traded for Sam Darnold, but is starting Fields instead. This is an interesting matchup.
Before you make your pick, I need to make a substitution.
Okay. Whoa.
Because I have Mr. Derwin James, who is suspended this weekend.
That's right. Put in Reek. Reek Woolen.
Not much of a choice there. I don't know what that did for the matchup. Yeah, it didn't really affect it that much.
No. What's interesting is I like where your team is right now. Like, I think a lot of these guys are hot in a way where, like, they're picking, like I think Burrow is going to need the ball out against Carolina. I think it's going to be a tough matchup for, like, Bo Nix. Like, Aaron Jones is playing well. Wendell Robinson's playing really well. DK, Goddard, Adunze, somebody needs to catch the ball in Chicago.
That's right.
And your defense has, and Bond's been a great linebacker in Philly. So I think your team has Tyrann Mathieu had a pick last week.
He did. The Eagles. The Honey Badger.
Yeah, this is tough. Seth's got a lot of question marks on his side. Is Devontae Smith going to play?
No.
Okay.
Is he starting him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be a thing. He's going to be taking him out of his lineup. For sure.
Yeah.
At least he should.
It's interesting. Yeah, I'm gonna have you winning by 3. I think it's gonna be super, super tight, but I think you win.
That's a bold call.
It
for
is
the third place team going against the third place team in the league.
Yeah, I would say Seth is the most surprising team this far in our league.
I am with you that he may have some issues in replacing the points for Devontae Smith. I agree with that. I also see in here that he has Chris Godwin playing, starting, who is questionable, and also will be playing in that same hurricane.
Yep.
Or in the remnants of it, which, you know, whatever ends up happening with that, nobody really knows. But everybody seems to be convinced in the Tampa area that it's going to be a shit show. So I don't know what that's going to look like either. I have a hard time picking myself just because my team's just not very good, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have absolute liabilities playing running back for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to take Seth by 11.
Okay.
Take Seth by 11. I just think he's probably got some better guys and better matchups in certain areas than I do. So I think he
Okay.
outscored me.
All right, I'm going to do a quick analysis on this next one. Max versus Shane. I'm going to go Max by 58. Just that's where I'm feeling it. That's I'm not even gonna I didn't even open up the box. Just that's where I'm going with
Jamie, I just want to talk about something as we look down through
it.
the predictions. Okay, on my phone, it's a little bit different order than the way we went, so I'm just going to go top down from what I'm looking at.
Okay.
It starts with me at the top because it's my account, right? So it's me and Seth, and the splits and the predictions are 44-56. Then there's you and T.O. where the splits are 53-47. Then the splits for Aaron and Eric are 51-49. Then the splits for Kyle and Michael Lenahan is 55-45. Okay. And Michael is the worst team in the league right now. All right. Now, Shane is the second best team in the league, but the splits in this matchup against Max are 68 to 32. And Max checks notes. Only has one guy playing right now, and it's Devin
Yeah.
Singletary.
Oh, man.
So, you know, really
Yeah.
what this is what this boils down to for me. I'm going to take Max by 77.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, what
I
I'm
just.
seeing, will say Shane did put up 178 last week. So I feel like if he gets above 160, that'll be that'll help
Look,
him not lose by less.
I know you just laughed at me, but I need you to realize that predictions right now are saying Max is going to win by 57.
Oh yeah.
So Max winning by 77 is not that crazy. I know it sounds like a
No.
lot.
Oh, it's not crazy at all.
You're like right there with yours. I think,
I didn't even honestly see that. I just
but I
like
mean,
50 sounded good.
sure, I'm being a little overzealous, but am I? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll keep it posted. All right, moving on to the last matchup, Kyle versus Michael for the week. Kyle coming on strong, 5-1 in the league right now. I
It's my
believe
championship pick.
he's
It's my championship pick, by the way. Top name.
championship pick. Wow. I believe he's close to Max, close-ish on points for about 40 points back. So he's had a pretty good year thus far. Huh? I like Kyle to win this. I'm gonna go with around maybe 20. I love that he has JD Davis. Love Jaden
Yeah,
Davis right now.
I'm gonna take Kyle as well. I'm gonna take him by 28. I'm gonna take Kyle by 28.
Damn, Kyle's got a young, bright roster.
Yes, he does. He's got a squad. He's got a squad. I gotta give him credit.
Bijan, Garrett, Rashee Rice, McBride's a young tight end. Amon-Ra St. Brown, James Cook, Montez Sweat. Oh, I love
That's
it.
hey, you heard me. Championship pick, Kyle Payne.
Wow.
Gonna be if
Wow.
his team stays healthy, he's gonna be a force to be reckoned with.
Wow. All right, my championship pick, I'm going to go with Max.
I
I
think
think
that
Max.
could be the championship. I don't know who's gonna win. It could be a toss-up, but that could easily be the championship. 100%.
I love the way Max has positioned himself with Barkley. And then I know that I may have made a joke about Max that he gave up both his kidneys for Marvin Harrison Jr. only to put up 0.9 in the first week. But I like. He looks pretty good in that
He
offense.
does. He does
Yeah.
look pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Max is gonna be. Max should send a thank you letter to Howie Roseman, is really what I think should happen. Because the Eagles are finally doing Saquon Barkley's talent justice
Yeah.
with the players that he's playing around and behind in terms of the offensive line. And Max has waited a lot of years to see what he's seeing right now from Saquon. Enjoying the ride with him because I get an absolute thrill out of watching him run 68 yards away from people in the NFL, just like he did in college. So good for Max. I think that I do think status quo the same health wise that will be the championship. Like I said, who could win it? It's a toss up once you get there. But either way, I think he's poised for a great season as well.
Well, great picks, Jordan.
You as well. You as well. I'm looking forward to see what unfolds this weekend. Quick shout out before we go. Kyle Payne's birthday this week. It was his birthday yesterday. We're recording this on Thursday. It was his birthday on a Wednesday.
Oh,
So
shit. Happy
when
birthday,
everyone
Kyle.
hears this, everybody wish Kyle a happy belated birthday. Philly's got him a first round bye in the Major League Baseball playoff for his birthday. Shout out to the Brewers also for helping us with that. Also, we're going to hope that Kyle gets a fantasy football win for his birthday. So we'll see what happens. Anything else before we go, Jamie?
No, that was good. Covered it all.
It's got to be the worst ending to a podcast anyone has ever heard. It's just anything else before we go.
Can't win them all.
I love it. All right, but actually though, before we do go, we are going to talk a little, just a little elevator pitch of baseball. In the National League specifically, Jamie, because I know your household has a little investment in the Diamondbacks. From what I understand, the Diamondbacks have clinched one of the wild card positions in the National League.
I don't think they
But
have.
I thought they did they not?
I don't think that's no.
Okay, maybe they didn't. In that
If
case, then, give me the National League field, in your opinion.
okay. Like who's
Who's
gonna
in?
make
Who's
it?
out? Yep.
So I do think the Diamondbacks make it, but that's only because the Mets and Braves, I don't know if you saw the scheduling that happened, but the
I
Mets and
did.
Braves
This is
now
exactly why I brought it up, Jamie. I'm so happy you're going with this. Yes, run
Matt,
with
the
it.
Mets and Braves have a double header on this upcoming Monday, and the Mets currently are in the second wild card spot just by percentage points on the D-backs, but and they're pretty much the same win percentage. The Braves are one game back of the Diamondbacks. And the Diamondbacks haven't been playing well. They've been scuffling in August and September, had a really good June and July. But I do think the Diamondbacks make it in. And I do have the Mets as well making that last spot. But I really want the Diamondbacks to have the last spot of the wild card. That way, the Diamondbacks can play the Brewers, which they've had tremendous success, and Milwaukee this year and last year as well. It would kind of be funny if the Diamondbacks could have the same exact path that they had last year.
It would
Up
be
until.
interesting. It is going to be competitive at the top. I do think the number one seed in the National League is going to come down to the last day. Maybe the last day before, maybe second to last day. The Dodgers
I
and the
mean it.
Phillies are effectively a half a game apart because the Phillies have the tiebreaker. So.
It could literally come down to the Braves and Mets playing on that game, where if like the Braves win two, they're in. If Mets just win one, they're in. It'll be very wild.
It
But
is un I look, you're not going to catch me showing any sympathy to the Braves or the Mets, but it does suck for them from a pitching perspective to have to play a doubleheader on a Monday leading into the wild card series immediately following that against a, in theory, better team, and then have to turn right around and go into a divisional series regardless of who makes it.
Well, Jordan, envision this. How about one of them's playing for a spot where they have to play in Atlanta and then the next day go to San Diego? Play a doubleheader in
Correct.
Atlanta and then go to San
Yeah.
Diego.
Yeah. Really, either.
Or Milwaukee, I guess, if it comes down to that. I mean, it's going to be travel, just games nonetheless.
what it would be brutal. The hypothetical I have in my head right now, and this has to be a worst case scenario, right? Think about this. Let's just say they're both basically East Coast teams. I know the Braves are in Central Time, but I'm going to use the Mets as an example. Imagine the Mets have to play a doubleheader in Atlanta, so they're in Central Time instead of Eastern, right? Then, to your point, they got to go play the wild card.
I think Atlanta's Eastern Time.
I don't think it is. I think it's Central. Either way, I'm pretty sure it's Central, dude. Barely. I'm telling you.
I just Googled it.
Is it Eastern Time? Fuck me. All right. Well, we're going to get a good bit of comedy out of the end of this podcast. Is it fucking really, dude? No way. It's Eastern Time.
I just Googled it.
God damn it. All right. All right. Whatever. That's not what we're talking about. Let's just say the Mets win, right? The Mets beat the Braves, they make it in, right? Then they got to go to San Diego to play the wild card round. Mm-hmm. Then let's say they win that series somehow. Then mm-hmm. they got to come back across the country to play the Phillies in the division series.
Yep.
You know, back and forth, straight through, no rest for their position players. Pitchers are a mess. Yikes. Again, you're not going to catch me showing any sympathy, but... And that's a lot of what ifs and hypotheticals in there, but could be just a brutal stretch.
Well, I think it's a brutal stretch in the sense that baseball players have a routine. They like playing every single day. And if you go 2 days at the end of the season not playing baseball and your entire schedule screwed up, like that's going to hurt you getting back in the groove of things. You're not going to stay hot. Normally, I mean, I think baseball players, the hottest team goes through. How can you be hot if you're not playing? So I think they're already really fucked up to begin with. No matter what.
I will be the first to tell you, as much as we just described the gauntlet that some of these teams could go through over the next week or so, I am absolutely petrified of the Phillies having 5 days off.
Yeah.
It scares the living Jesus out of me.
No.
Just gonna be honest with you. Because I saw what happened to the Braves. We did it to the Braves twice. So I have firsthand experience. Yep. Of what that can do to you, and it's not good.
Yep.
But
it'll be interesting.
We'll see. All right, we got to wrap this up. We've been flapping our gums for a while here, probably over an hour at this point. So took us 2 hours to get this done because of technical difficulties. It's a whole mess. But Jamie, it's been great. Welcome back to the NFL season. We'll do a few more of these throughout the year, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And hope you have a great night, sir.
As well for you. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. We'll talk soon.